So there is a lot happening in the world. As I travel, particularly in the Western world, it's become a moral-less place. Now, they've got morals, but now there's worldly morals. But godly morals have gone. I mean, you probably heard in the last week, there was, you know, if you're a man and you identify as a woman, then you're a woman. And so this man identified, you probably heard it on the news, identified as a woman, and he was put in prison. And he raped several of the female inmates. So they've taken him out of that and put him in a man's prison. So it's a confused world, isn't it? And the world's upside down. Governments are confused. People are confused. Men are confused. But the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, but where's the church in all this? Well, there's something called Emerging Trends. It's a magazine, Emerging Trends. And it says there's little difference, listen to this, in ethical views and behavior of those who go to church and those who don't. And when it comes to lying, cheating, pilfering, and non-reporting of theft, there's little difference between the church and the world. So something's got to happen. See, the church, over the last number of years since I was first converted, has massively changed. And some of these big-name preachers, all they are motivational speakers, making you feel good. And they throw some scriptures in. But they're not given moral direction. They're just given positive messages to make you feel good. And we live in a lawless society that rejects the laws of the Lord. And you know this, when you study the history of the Jewish nation, it says this: He was the God of heaven and he was the God of earth. And then they went into captivity and they said, He's the God of heaven. And that was it. And God withdrew his hand from them when it came to that. And I find today, with most Christians, he's the God of heaven. But he's not the God of heaven and the God of earth. And that's why a lot of churches are ineffective, because they never hear eternity. And so God has taken his glory away from the Israelites, and the presence of God, his divine presence, has left many churches. We don't want God and to be bondaged. We don't want his bondage with all these laws that he gives us. And then, of course, you know, there's people have stopped being disciples. And what are the vast majority of Western Christians? I'll tell you what they are. They've become church members, seat fillers, singers of songs, sermon raters. Oh, that's a good sermon. Oh, I didn't like that one. 10 out of 10 for that. 9 out of 10. Sermon raters and Bible readers. But we've stopped being true disciples. And true disciples, then we'd have an impact on the world. And you see, the Western concept is the Western concept. I've chosen to become a Christian. That's what it is. I've made a decision for Jesus Christ. Well, that's a man-made notion. And it will spell death. You see, because Jesus says, I've chosen you. See, I've called you. When I was a kid, and I saw what the older generation went through, I mean, we had nothing. I mean, nothing. We had nothing compared to what people say. There's so many poor children in Britain today. I think, get on your bike. We've never been so well off. And there was one guy, he was sitting down in church. He was... I said, what's the matter? They've stopped my dole money. I said, pardon? He said, they've stopped my dole money. Now, this guy, he was a big guy, big belly, so he ate plenty, big belly, you see. I said, well, did you have any food yesterday? Yes. Did you have a breakfast today? Yes. Have you had any lunch? Yes. So I slapped his big belly and I said, well, rejoice. I said, you know, people just cannot take a little bit of pressure today. And yet, I've got to ask, how big is their God? The dole money's been stopped, so his whole world collapses. And what's happened is, you see, I go around churches and they say, you know what, I've been hurt. And it wouldn't happen in this church, of course, would it? I've been hurt. Well, come on. Listen, in the Middle East, they've nailed some of those Christians to crosses, and it says, if you don't deny Jesus Christ, we'll treat you like Jesus Christ was tread, and that they've nailed teenagers, 17, 18-year-olds, to crosses and let them die a slow, agonizing death. And see, they've got nothing out there except Jesus, those who are Christian. Nothing. And church now, in the Western nations, we've become professional counselors. And we've stopped actually putting Jesus into the lives of people. Now listen, I want to read a scripture. And if we go to 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21, look at this. Mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, nor rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For, listen to this, for the shield of the mighty is cast away there, and the shield of Saul is no longer anointed with oil. Now, this is a shadow. Remember, the Old Testament is a shadow of the new. What's revealed in the new is contained in the old. And it says this, the shields are dull. Now, here it is. And then you read on, the shields are dull. And the next verse, it says there's no harvest. No harvest. Now, that is a picture of the church today, where we've become dull. The shields have become dull, and there's no harvest. Now, let me tell you what was happening here. The shield of Saul has become dull. The soldiers would take their shields. Pretend, oh, this is a big Bible. This has got to be Stella's, is it? I thought so. They would have these huge shields about this big. And what they would do, they'd get a cloth, and they would get some oil and put the oil on the cloth, and they'd polish their shields. Really had to put effort into it. Polish, 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 till those shields became gleaming. And it says here the shields were dull. Now, let me explain what that means. And so the Israelite soldiers would stand there with their shields by their side. And the enemy would be coming. And they would be, the Israelites would be facing the sun. Well, you never face the enemy with the sun in your eyes. So the enemy would look at the Israelites. Look at them. They've got the sun in their eyes. Let's defeat them. So this mighty army would come, descend upon the Israelites. And the Israelites all standing in lines there, shields by their sides. And the commander would be saying, okay, lads, hold fast. I'd be standing there, and the enemy would be getting closer and closer and closer. Stand fast, lads! Hold steady! Steady! And the enemy was just hundreds of yards away, and then the commander would shout, now, lads! Now! And they'd take the polished shields, turn them around, and the sun that was in the eyes would hit those shields, and it would brilliantly shine out and hit the enemy right in the eyes, and they were blinded. So the charge! And when the enemy was blinded, it would fall on them and defeat the enemy. So this passage of scripture, that's what it was talking about. No longer anointed with oil. No longer rubbed with oil, and the shields have become dull. And then you read on in the chapter, there's no harvest. And mountains of Gilboa, no dew, no rain, no field offerings, because the shield has become dull. That's just like churches today. There's no harvest, people don't get saved, great messages, but nobody's getting to know Jesus. And so here it is. And I hear churches all over, please God, send us revival. Please help us, God, and have these prayer meetings. Lord, we need help. By the way, we shouldn't be praying for revival. Did you know that? Because what happens? Revivals come and they go. But the Lord's promise is, Jesus, I'm going to build my church and hell will not prevail. I'm going to restore my church. So restoring and restoration is a permanent thing. All the time, building and building and building. So revival comes and revival goes. But here people are praying for revival. Revival. Help us, God. Help us. We need some help. Oh, please, God. Well, what do you think God's response is to that? All over. Please help. Well, let's go to the next verse. Next chapter. Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 5. Here's God's response to please help us. Prepare the tables. Set a watchman in a tower. Eat, drink, arise. Or in the NIV, it says, get up, you princes. What? anoint your shield. Remember, the shield was no longer anointed with oil. And what's oil significant of in the Old Testament? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was no longer evident. But here it is saying, listen, anoint, get up and anoint the shields with oil. Rub your shields with oil. And what it is saying here is, see, the Lord has equipped us with everything that we need. Now listen, Joshua chapter 3, we're not going to read this, verses 9 to 17. Now, the Israelites had promises from the Lord. You're going to go into the promised land. Here's the promises. Here's all the good things. And so the Israelites came in the middle of winter, for those who've been out there in the Mideast, in the middle of winter, the Jordan is like a raging torrent. And they came to this river Jordan. Now, it was so powerful, if they had tried and crossed over, they would have drowned. So what did they do? Lord, help us. You've promised us. You've given us all these promises. So please help us now. Get to the promised land. So what happened was this. All the Israelite community floated up into the sky. And then they floated across the Jordan. And then on the other side, God laid all the Israelites down so gently on the other side.
No.
What do you mean, no? Stella, I'm the preacher. The preachers are perfect. They are 100% right all the time. What do you mean, no, Stella? What? It didn't happen. Well, of course it didn't. That's because you read your Bible, you see. What happened was this. They didn't say, God, we need help. Would you help us get over there? No. It said, first of all, they got up and they moved out. And when the first of the priests put their foot in the waters stopped running. And right at the other end of the stream, the waters piled up in a heap and stopped flowing down. See, nothing happened till they decided to do something. And it's the same principle with us. You can pray all you want, but nothing's going to happen until you decide to get up and the anointing, the Holy Spirit, which the Lord has already given, is here. So the Spirit of the Lord has been poured out. So he's saying, take the Spirit, take the anointing, take what you've been given, get up, you people, move out and do something. You see, I get excited with Stella. You're here because not because I now, Lord, mystically bring somebody into the church. Ooh. No, Stella, she went out and she did it. Said, why don't you come to church? She put some effort into it. You see, we get rather mystical, don't we, and spooky. But no, you get up, use the anointing. The Holy Spirit has already been poured out. He is here. Move out and do something about it. You see, you can have vision, but without action, all you are visionaries. You've got to have vision, and then you've got to have action. Now, the drawback on things is this. We do things by habit. Why do you do what you do? Well, we do this on Sunday. We do this on a Sunday. We do things by habit, and we don't hear the Lord. You see, Jesus said, hey, he wakens me morning by morning, and he heard. And I look at Christians and say, you know, I've got these issues in my life. I've got these problems. You know, it's hereditary because, you know, my dad was like that. And because my dad was like that, I'm like that. Well, I've got this anger and this temper because my mother was a fiery redhead. Listen. I'm nothing like my mother and father. I mean, my natural mother and father. I know what they're like. They are very different. And so has met my sisters, and I'm nothing like my sisters who are not Christians. Totally transformed. Because I've got the DNA of Jesus Christ in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I've been totally transformed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, you don't have to have those hang-ups that so many Christians allow themselves to have. You don't have to have all those oddities that your parents had, that your would be in your natural genes because you've got the genes of the Almighty God flown through you. You see, my Father in heaven is not an alcoholic. My Father in heaven does not have all these hang-ups. And I'm in the bloodstream of my Father in heaven. See, now, I was in bed this morning. We stayed in the Premier Inn. It's a nice hotel. They treat you really well there. And, you know, I was just in bed there. And I think the alarm goes off. Ding, ling, 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 ling. Oh, I better get up. I just have 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes passes. And, oh, just another couple of minutes. Did you do that? Oh, just another couple of minutes. All right. Oh, just like, oh, just 5 more minutes, Lord. I need to get up and read the Bible because I'm preaching this morning. Oh, 2 more minutes. Oh, better get up. So, and you know something? My day did not start until I got out of bed. My day did not, nothing happened until I got up. And that's what the Bible is saying here. Get up, rise up, step out, do something. And when you get up, when you step out, when you begin something, arise, the Bible says, arise, O sleeper. Then something begins to happen. And it's all through the Bible. Wake up, O sleeper, rise up, get up, stand up, move out. Otherwise, nothing happens. Now, I want to just say this. You're depressed because you haven't risen against the enemy. Now, I've looked at this from every angle. There's books on psychology that I've written. Listen, you haven't risen against the enemy. And I'm telling you this. Look, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And listen, his divine power. Listen, that's the majesty of the King who created heaven. And all the power that flung the stars into space. The power that hung the earth on its circle. The power that did the galaxies. The divine power has given to us some things. It's Stella again. You're right, Stella. Not something. See, a lot of Christians, it's some. No, no. All things that pertain to this life, he's given it everything we need for a life of godliness. Through the knowledge of him, that's Jesus Christ, who called us by glory and virtue. There's not a thing that the Lord has not given us to live the life that he's called us to live. By the power of Jesus Christ, by the divine power, by the anointing, and what the Bible is saying, you need to get up, polish those shields, let the oil of the anointing come upon you, do something, and as you step out and you begin to go, Stella, things begin to happen, you see. But it's not happening simply because you pray. Lord, help us. Get up, you officers, oil the shields. Now, all of us have this power to live a godly life. All of us. How do I know that? Listen, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's have a look at that. This is Paul talking about the enemy. Having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, what Paul was describing here, he was a Roman citizen, and he was trying to communicate how the Romans dealt with their enemies. That's what he was doing here. Now, I need somebody who's the devil. You'll do, my brother. Come here.
It's typecasting.
Now this is the defeated enemy. This is what Paul was saying. So what the Romans would do to the enemy that's been defeated. Now, I wish we had a drummer to drum. We haven't got a drummer, have we? But it'd be nice to have a, you know, like this. Whoa! So the soldiers, the Roman army, this is in front of everybody. All the power of Rome was there, and the enemy who was defeated was there. So they'd walk in. and the drum roll and the music's playing, and they would say this: "You are defeated," publicly. They would take the epaulettes, which was a sign of their power, and Jesus would take that. The enemy, the Romans, would take that, saying, "I am taking all your power." Then they take the other medals of what, "Your house is mine. Your family is mine." And they'd strip them bit by bit of all the power and authority they had. "All you have, your lands are mine. Your finances are mine. Your kingdom is mine. Everything you have is mine. Your family is mine. I possess you. You are totally defeated." And this is what Paul was saying. He was trying to give you an understanding of what the Romans did, because this is what Jesus did. And Jesus took everything. "Your power from the devil is mine." He says, "You were called the morning star. Now I take that from you, and I am called the bright and morning star. You are the accuser. I am the deliverer." You are, and everything Satan had was taken from him by Jesus Christ. Thank you. You can sit down. You see, that's what this scripture is saying. Everything. Satan has been defeated forever. And you've got to stop. "It's the devil. It's the devil, you know. The devil is making me do it. It's the devil. Listen, the devil had no power over you." You see, devil has been defeated. And God says you need to get up. You need to rise up with the power, the anointing. Put some effort into your shield. Oil your shield so you reflect the glory of God. Put effort into it. Are you understanding what this scripture is saying now? See, we've triumphed over all these powers by the cross. So the devil is not your problem. It's you that's the problem. Because the devil has been... You know, there was a man who died. Rich man. And on his tombstone, he had something carved on. And he said, his name was George. He says, "Here lies the part that bothered George the most." Himself. And here is the part that bothers us the most. You see, the devil is not bothered with dead people. I hear people say, "I'm under attack. I'm under attack." Have you heard people say that? I mean, not in this church. That would never happen, would it? "I'm under attack." Well, listen. I go to America, and they say over there, "I'm under attack." Oh, okay. Then at the same time in the nations of Africa, "I'm under attack by the devil." Then I go down to Australia, "I'm being attacked by the devil." All at the same time. Then I come to Europe, "I'm under attack." You come to England, "I'm under attack." Well, how can everybody be under attack by the devil at the same time? He's not omnipresent. He's not like Jesus Christ, omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time, and he only had a few angels that fell with him. He didn't have enough power. So it's not the devil, because he's been defeated. See? The devil has no power over you because Christ triumphed over them. So, and you know, listen, can I have a big guy? You were a big, do you know what? Come here, you might as well be the superstar for one day. You're quite strong, you got strong legs. All right. The Bible talks about these men called the sons of Sceva. You ever read that? Without us turning to it, just to save time. And the sons of Sceva, I say, "In the name of this Jesus, we do this, be healed in the name of Jesus." And they came to the demons and they went, "Huh? Huh?" Who says, "In Jesus' name"? Well, we know Paul. Yeah, we've heard of Paul. And we know Jesus. But who are you? And then the Bible says, the devil has jumped on them. I love it. It's a comedy. Have you read it? The Bible's funny sometimes. And the devil's jumped on them. Have you? You can sit down. See? Paul I know. Jesus I know. But who are you? I want to ask you a question. Is your name known in hell? Is your name known in hell? Well, it should be. Because Jesus' name is known in hell. Paul's name is known in hell. And the devils are frightened. And our name should be known in hell. Because we need to do what Jesus Christ said. Who are you? Send us a revival? No, no. Get up. Rise up. Put on your garments of splendor. You see, I love to, you know, David, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. The Israelites were facing this giant. And this giant was roaring. And if you read the whole thing in this context, first, Goliath was at the bottom of the valley. And then you go another chapter further on, and he's at the top of the valley, outside the camp of the Israelites. So he moved up from the bottom, all the way up to the hill, right outside the camp, defying the armies of God. And the more you allow the devil to get away with stuff, the more ground he takes. And that's a principle right there. And David came along. And this thing was threatening and shouting at God's people. And David says, is nobody going to deal with him? And Saul, he was 7'3" or something. 7'4". He was a giant himself, Saul. But he was terrified. And of course he gave the armor to David. He said, David, I'll go do it. And of course David, he was a do-it prophet. He wasn't a theorist. He wasn't a theologist. He says, let's do it. And about, let's worship, let's praise, let's fight. David was a do-it prophet. There are many prophets who do nothing. A do-it prophet. And of course, the Bible says he ran at the giant and defeated the giant. And that's what the Bible says. Some of you need to rise up, get up, run at the devil. And by the divine power that God has given us, we defeat Satan. Well, okay, Colin. I think I'm beginning to understand what you say. So I'm going to get up. And you know, what's your name? Colby. Colby. Man, that's a manly name, Colby. That's like a movie star name, hey, Colby. There's Colby says, I'm going to get up. And angels are here. Now, this is Bible. I wish I had time to do the study with you, but we're just limited time. The angels say, hey, Colby. Have you seen what he's getting up? Colby's getting up. Now we can go to his assistance because the Bible says this. And you know what? We hear a lot, the devils, it's the devils. And Christians always talk about the devils, the devil. You know, the Bible talks more about the angels over us and the angels over the city and the angels that, and Colby gets up. The angels say, now he's rising up, we can go and help him. And just think, when you begin moving out in the name of Jesus Christ, these 7'6", 8-foot beings who are pure spirit, they draw their fiery swords, whatever they are, and they stand over you, and the devils see these, and they'll fall back. He's getting up. That church is getting up. That person's getting up. That group's getting up. And the angels then come to our aid, the messengers of the Almighty God. Get up, you officers. Get up, you people. Put some effort into it and oil your shields. Let the anointing of the Lord come upon you. You see, we've got to stop praying for revival. God says, look, I've sent my Holy Spirit. My Holy Spirit, the anoint, is with you. So you use what's already been given. Get up, you officers, and oil those shields. You see, listen to this. Joshua, I love this scripture in chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you. Did you hear that? When you move out and you begin to do things, oh, I like that. Then you receive the inheritance. Be strong. Be of good courage for this people. And then it goes on. Listen, I've given you these promises. And I know here, probably almost everybody here has had a promise from the Lord. And the only way you'll receive those promises is by getting up, moving out, oil in the shields, and let the Spirit of God, which He's given you, come upon you. God has helped us. Polish us. If they needed to polish their shields, we must. Joshua 1, verse 13, said, listen to this. Remember. Say that word.
Remember.
Say it again.
Remember.
See, that's the problem. You forget. Remember. Remember the word of the Lord. Remember what's been commanded. Remember the Lord, your God, has given you rest. He had to tell him to remember. And he's given you this land. Remember those promises. Remember what the Lord said. Remember the promises over this church. Remember the Lord has said those promises will be fulfilled when you get up. And that's the problem. We forget. Remember the promises of the Lord. And then you will come into all that inheritance the Lord says, I've put aside for you. And the devil says, well, see, you know what happened to these? Although they said, remember, they forgot. And because they forgot, what happened to them? They wound up in the wilderness. That's why you get a lot of Christians. I'm having a wilderness experience. Well, it's your own stupid fault. The devil says, if you get up to the Israelites and cross the Jordan, you're finished. You know what? I'd rather get up and, like David, run at the enemy. I'd rather die in battle than die lying down. See, God said to the Israelites, I want you to build the walls of Jerusalem. But before the walls of Jerusalem was built, you know what they had to do? They had to first conquer Jericho. Why? Because if they didn't conquer Jericho, the enemy would be at their back. So the Lord is saying to some of you, I want you to conquer that. Conquer that habit. Conquer that thing. Then you move on. Titus, listen to this. This is my second last scripture. Titus chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. Did I give you verse 14? Oh, okay. Looking for that blessed hope. I look for that blessed hope. Do you know what, Stella? The older I get, the more I'm looking. Honestly, I am looking forward to seeing Jesus and going to heaven. And the more you get to know Jesus, the more you want to be with him. And looking for that blessed hope, the return of Jesus, and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Next verse. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and what? Purify for himself. That's the problem with the church today. It hasn't been, they haven't allowed themselves to be purified. We are here. You see, a lot of Christians, Lord, give me this. And somehow God's become a celestial Santa Claus in this generation. I need this and I need that and help me. And no. See, listen, he wants a people for himself. He's a jealous God. For himself, his own special people. Look at this. Zealous, passionate, zealous for good works. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Or, as for me and my house, we're going to get up. Me and my house, we're going to put some effort into it. Take your shield. Get a determination. Say, Lord, you have given us everything we need. Everything. My spirit's been poured out. The Holy Ghost has anointed you. Jesus has died. The victory has been won. The devil has been defeated. There's nothing left for you to do except be obedient. Get up! Go, the Bible says, into the world. Be like Stella. Get some people. Bring them into the house of the Lord. Tell them about Jesus. You do it. Get up and go. That means you have to put effort into it. Polish your shield so it becomes anointed with that oil. Anointed, and you begin. You know, when I thought at first, I at the beginning of the meeting, I saw the glory of the Lord, and then I realized it was Paul's shoes. It was a glimmer. You see, a church in Acts chapter 2:43, the disciples were sitting down and crying in the upper room, oh, help us, God. God says, okay, and he blew the Holy Spirit on them, and they got up. And they went out And the New Testament church, the early church, was birthed when they decided to leave the upper room, decided to get out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here's my last scripture, and then we're all done. And we're all going back to Paul's for dinner. Isaiah 52. Everybody's invited, by the way. Was that right? Is that right, Theo? Oh, the colour's drained from your face. Did he not tell you?
No.
He didn't tell you. Poor. Isaiah 52. Listen to this. Awake! That means wake up, church. Wake up, individuals. Get up. Stand up. Do something. Awake! He says it again, twice. And remember, Isaiah is a prophet. And he's prophesying through the generations. He's prophesying through time. Traveled across space and time into this generation in the 21st century. And the prophet Isaiah speaks today. And he was a real person. 6 months ago, they found the first evidence of the real man out there in Jerusalem by the Wailing Wall. A seal that belonged to Isaiah the prophet. And it has his name, everything on it. Fantastic. And yet the Bible's been saying, yeah, there was a prophet called Isaiah. And now people are saying, oh, there really was some. Well, yeah, of course. Listen, put on your strength. Did you hear that? It doesn't say call out to the Lord. You put on. See, this morning I got up and I put on my jacket. You put on your strength. It says put on your strength. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You have everything you need to live the life God has called you to live. Put on your beautiful garments. Garments of splendor. You know, we've been given garments of splendor. Put on. And then the uncircumcised, the state of the church, the way will not enter you any longer. And then verse 2, did I give you verse 2? Listen, shake what? Yourself, not other people. You know, a lot of people are, you know that pastor, you know that you know Stella, you know him, you know that Paul. No, no, the Bible says take heed what? To yourself. We're always taking heed to other people. Take heed to yourself. Shake yourself. And that means, Lord, the stuff that's on you, get it off of you. You've been given the power to do it. Get it off of you. Shake it off. Arise, sit down, loose. Listen, loose what? Yourself from the bonds of your neck. So many Christians are sitting in bondages. The Bible says, shake them off. Get them off. Loose yourself, O captive daughter of Zion. I think the time's come in this generation, in a moralless, deprived, desperate situation, to wake up, get up, and let the church be the church that God intended it to be. We've been like a battleship, and the church is like a battleship, but we've been beached on the seashore. Beached, not going anywhere. And I think the Holy Ghost wants to launch us into the deep. So the power of the battleship is unleashed. And this church here, on the way, well, there's only about 30 or 40. Listen, this church is an excellent church. And I tell you, you harness yourself, you get up, and you do as the Lord Jesus has commanded, you will burst out of this building, and those that want to know and will get to know Jesus Christ. Let's stand up. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray we'll wake up from our slumber. We'll shake ourselves. In fact, where you're standing, just do this. And whatever it is that's holding you back, say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm shaking this off. Just do that. I'm shaking this stuff off of me. I'm shaking these bondages off. Holy Spirit, I'm taking these old garments off, and I'm going to put on the garments of splendor. Put on that garment that Christ Jesus died and he gave you. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, complete the work that you've begun in this church. And I pray, Lord Stuart and Leslie, you'll give them such a passion and such a vision to take this church forward. And I pray the sheep will follow without grumbling, without complaining, and they'll support and bless them. Holy Spirit, burst in on this church. Amen. Burst in on the people. Get up, polish your shield, and let the oil of gladness and the oil of anointing fall upon this church. For the glory of God. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's go forward. Do something. And stop crying out for revival. Amen. Make a revival.